It is April 17th, 2013, and you are now listening to the Women's Movement Radio Network. This is Coach Yashika, and Soulful Essentials starts right now. Blessings. Welcome to another episode of Soulful Essentials. I am your host, Coach Yashika, and it is always a pleasure to be here on WMRN speaking with the Soulful Essentials listeners right now. We have a special guest for you this evening. We have Sadiqua Johnson coming in later after the break. But before she gets in, I just want to talk a little bit about today's topic and centering around some of the things that we'll be discussing this evening, which will be writing and expressing yourself through those types of mediums and being centered in your everyday life by way of meditation. Well, for those who follow me through Facebook or Instagram and also Twitter, I gave out a call, I think it was Friday. Yeah, sometime Friday, I did my first guided meditation. It's 15 minutes, roughly around 15 minutes. It was around like 14 and some change. But it was a guided meditation, and it was one of the first ones that I put out there. I have done a few, but this was one of the first ones that I put out there, and I've gotten so much great feedback from it. And I will be officially putting together my very own guided meditation CD, which is going to be named, can you guess? It's going to be named Soulful Essentials. It's going to be maybe about 15 to 20 guided meditations. I haven't decided on a number yet, but I will be putting that in the works. I know a couple of producers, and I know there's a studio down here where I am located. I probably will be making that CD. I want to say by the end of 2013. That's going to be one of my goals. But I did put out a call for anyone who wanted to download this guided meditation. It was about 15 minutes, and got a few people who actually downloaded it and liked it, and they were enjoying it. It was for the after work person, you know, those of us who work 9 to 5, 8 to 4, you know, any type of 8, 9, 10 hour, 12 hour, 16 hour shift. This is the purpose of the meditation, was to wind down, to create a state of relaxation and peace once you get off work. And so the purpose of meditation is really to be in the now, and to really still your mind, to get yourself focused on being centered in the world and nature, and just being that being of light. You know, it's an art form, and it takes practice. And it doesn't necessarily have to be in a lotus style position where you're sitting Indian style and you have your hands in a position and you are meditating, or at least trying to appear to be meditating. It definitely takes practice, and you can start off by doing 5 or 7, 9, 10 minute meditations. And if you're just starting out, you're a beginner, guided meditations are awesome. So that's why I'm starting off with the guided meditations, because I think those will be a lot more helpful and influential in a lot of people's lives than just, you know, having music and then trying to meditate. So I started off with a couple of guided meditations myself, and they definitely work, and it has helped me to be at a level where I am now when it comes to meditating and being still, because it is work. Definitely, it is work. When it comes to quieting the mind, like a lot of us, about 70% of individuals have this open center in their head where thoughts and ideas and everything just flows through there, and is conditioned by way of coming in contact with another individual. You know, if you guys have ever experiences, which I'm sure you have, just basically coming in contact with someone and they may be telling you something, and they may be giving you inspiration, or, you know, passing through their inspiration to you, or convincing you to think a certain way, or convincing you that, you know, just it's a basic state of conditioning when you come across another human being, another individual who could be being conditioned and then passing their condition on to you. So, you know, one of the things I've always said was just be careful who you come in contact with. And unless that is just it's not a fear tactic or anything to scare you, but you really should be aware of the individuals that you come in contact with, period, because you're highly open, especially in the head area where you get your inspiration from, where you get your doubt, your confusion from, and all your mental processes come through your head. You are more likely to be conditioned there first. So when it comes to meditating, you have to kind of remember that that is so much going on up there. You can't focus on the fact that there are thoughts that will be appearing up there. So, you know, one of the visuals that I like to give is clouds. And, you know, when you look up in the sky, you see clouds passing by, and they're not in any particular order. They're just there. You know, they're in all different types of shapes, forms. You know, you see dark clouds, you see pure white fluffy clouds, you see all different kind of clouds, cumulus clouds, you know, different types of clouds you see in the sky, and they're just passing by. Well, the other day, I was so amazed at how the clouds were just moving, because we're just getting into the spring here in North Carolina, and the weather is breaking and everything is blooming, and the sun is shining and the weather is just right, and sometimes we get rain, sometimes we get a lot of wind, but everything is just so springy around here. Everything is popping up very springy. So as I was observing the clouds, I was watching how the wind was just, I was so amazed, because I haven't seen the clouds move in a while, probably because of the, you know, the winter weather. We all kind of getting this kind of depressive, not depressive in a bad way, but just kind of, we all get this kind of melancholy state when the winter time comes around, and that's natural, you know, that's part of the seasons of hibernation and all that good stuff. But so as I was looking up, and I saw the clouds pass by, I am just like, wow, like I'm just caught in this moment of clouds. And so I like to use those, that visual for when you meditate. Clouds are your thoughts. When you meditate, of course, you want to be still, and you want to be focus on your breathing, for one, because that's definitely one of the major, major things about meditating, is you want to focus on your breathing, because then you won't be so much trying to figure out, oh, what are you thinking on, why are these thoughts popping in your head. That's where a lot of people get confused at, and they get kind of sidetracked when they try to meditate, because they're trying to figure out why I'm thinking about trying to cook dinner, or what the kids got to be doing, or did I turn, you know, the alarm on at the house, or whatever. So many thoughts come across our mind and come across our head throughout our head daily. The point is to be aware that those thoughts are there. So I like to use the analogy and the visual of clouds. Just let those thoughts pass on through like clouds and watch them. You are the observer. You are the seer of it all. Okay, so I like to use that. So starting off talking about meditation, I love meditation. I'm getting deeper and deeper into meditation, and so many other outlets and avenues to really bring a lot of more balance and maya into our daily living. It is such a beautiful tool to use, and our guest Sadiqua Johnson, she instructs a class, I want to say every week, where she's at, and when she comes on, she's going to be talking about that, and she's going to be talking about her book. Sadiqua Johnson is an author. She's a beautiful author, and she just has a lot going on. Just amazing. She does amazing work, and right now, our book club is reading her book. So, when we return, I'll tell you a little bit about our book club and what we got going on. And then we will bring in our special guest for this evening, Miss Sadiqua Johnson. So, stick tuned. We'll be right back.
Women's Movement Radio Show on Tuesday nights at 9:30 p.m. with me, your host, Janae Azenstrauss, where we will talk to women all around the world about business, love, and lifestyle. Join us and be a part of a movement of women who are changing their lives by force.
Welcome back to Soulful Essentials. This is Coach Yashika, and if you are just tuning in, you haven't missed much. I just talked about meditation before we went to break, because our special guest for this evening will be coming on and discussing all of what she does and some of the things that she embarked on is meditation. She teaches a meditation class every week. And for those of you who do not know who our special guest is this evening, is Sadiqua Johnson, and I can't wait for her to come on, because she's a great person. She gives me a lot of inspiration. Sometimes, you know, when you're on these social networks, and you may follow, you know, people, and they're consistently, or maybe here and there, putting out information, but every time Sadiqua puts out something, I always resonates with them. So she never really knows, you know, you never really know who you're touching, but she never really knows that she's touching me. But every time she puts out some, you know, some really motivating information or content, she definitely does. So yeah, I love her energy. She's always someone that I can really take in some of the things that she says. And she will be coming on after the break to speak about, you know, the material that she's getting ready to, well, her book. You know, she's getting ready to put out this this compilation book with other mothers. And, of course, her huge, huge novel, Love in a Carry-On Bag. Yeah, I mean, Love in a Carry-On Bag has gotten so much recognition since she has debuted this, and it's just amazing. If you have not gotten this book yet, I really suggest that you do. You know, you go over to SadiquaJohnson.com or Amazon.com, and the name of her novel is Love in a Carry-On Bag. It is a romance novel, and it's actually the recipient of the 2012 USA Best Book Award for Fiction, you know, particularly African-American fiction. It has been nominated for the 2013 QBR Wheatley Book Award and the 2013 AAMBC Award for Best Romance. It was also selected as a Black Expressions Book Club alternate pick. Now, going over Black Expressions book. Okay, so you have to have ordered from Black Expressions. You cannot have not ordered from Black Expressions. And I remember probably about middle school. It had to be middle school or high school, somewhere in that era, that I got majority of my African American books from there, all the way from Eric Jerome Dickey, you know, to Sister Soldier, Miyasha. Shout out to Miyasha, because I'm definitely going to have her on my show. I've been talking to her, and I'm really hoping that she'll be able to come on very soon. But yeah, Miyasha, all the way to Miss Karen Miller. Like I said, the majority of the books that I have that are African American fiction have came from Black Expressions. Like, Black Expressions was the go-to place for book clubs, and it just it just hit me, like, when I was reading through her bio a little bit, and all of these recognitions that she's getting from Loving the Carry-On Bag is amazing. And I can't wait to have her on after the break. Yay, she's such an amazing person, you know what I mean? Just a very kindred spirit. And I'm so humble and able to have her on. I'm glad that we're actually virtually connected. You know, so when we return, we'll have her on. I'm gonna quit yapping because you know I can do that all day. But we definitely will be right back to have our special guest, Miss Sadiqua Johnson, right here on Soulful Essentials.
Right, welcome back, you guys. We have our special guest for the evening, the beautiful Miss Sadiqua Johnson, author of Love in a Carry-On Bag. I'm so excited to have the sister on right now. How are you, sis? How are you?
I am awesome. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
I'm excited. I'm glad that you were able to come and be on the show because, you know, I keep up with you via Facebook and Twitter, and you do have your presence up there just really influenced me. You know, you see, have positive vibes, and you always keep a great attitude, and you're definitely doing great things, especially with your books and your material.
Oh, thank you so much. You know, it's funny because I feel like, I don't know if you feel like this ever about social media, mm-hmm. is that you do put a lot of energy out there, and you're like, is there anybody paying attention? So that feels good to know that, you know, somebody's listening, somebody's, you know, reading, and so that's great.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like it's okay, before I jump in, I want to let my listeners know this is Sadiqua Johnson. You definitely have to Google her and YouTube her. Right now, I actually have a book club, and some of our book club members are engaging in your book right now, Loving the Carry-On Bag, and I must say we have been enjoying discussing and talking about this book so far. They've been emailing me and saying, you know, it was a surprise, and da da da. I don't want to give it away to people who hadn't read the whole thing yet, but we've been engaging and I'm talking about it. So before we get into our the bulk of our interview and our discussion, just would you like to just give a introduction
Absolutely. Yeah, sure. Okay, so for your listeners, my name is Sadiqua Johnson. I am the author of Love in a Carry-On Bag. It has just won the 2012 USA Best Book Award for African American Fiction, which is my first national award, so I'm still kind of dancing on my desk. You know,
wow.
I can't believe it. Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, congratulations on
thank
that,
you. Thank you. And I just got word a week or so ago that I've been nominated for the 2013 QBR Wheatley Book Award, which is connected with the Harlem Book Festival. And it's the first annual award, and I can't even believe it, but I'm in the same category as Bernice McFadden and Toni Morrison.
Oh, wow.
I know. And those are two authors who I've admired and studied and read, so it's pretty awesome. So the journey has been, you know, incredible. I started off in publishing. My background is in publishing. I used to work as a public relations manager, and I've worked with some pretty well-known authors like J.K. Rowling, the author of Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm.
I've worked with B.B. Moore Campbell, Amy Tan, Bishop T.D. Jakes, and so I came into the writing or author business with a publishing background, so I can't even say that I'm kind of brand new to it. It's like I was on the business side first, and I kind of was planting seeds and taking notes about how things should be done so that when I got to the author side, I was a little bit more prepared.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing is that I was just featured, or I am featured right now, Rashonda Tate Billingsley, a wonderful award-winning author. She's written over 20 books. Her new novel just came out on Tuesday. It's called The Motherhood Diaries, and that is featuring Rashonda and 21 authors who write about motherhood, and I actually happen to be one of them. My story is called The Overachieving Mom.
Mm-hmm. I saw that when
tweets?
You posted that. I was like, woohoo! Because, you know, when things like that happen, accomplishments, things are, it's just a great milestone in one's career to celebrate those things that happen like that, and you're really capturing, like, you have a paper trail, you know, and that's very important when we talk about history, and creating our history, creating our reality, and moving forward. You know, you want to look back and kind of say, well, you know, I lived a wonderful life, you know, and you actually lived these things, these accomplishments that they're being documented and noticed. So that is a great accomplishment to be featured in that as well.
Oh, wow, well, thank you so much. You just know everything. You know the right things to say. Thank you. I never think of it like that, but I guess it is a paper trail, like a historical paper trail.
Yes, yeah. Indeed, absolutely. It is. It's great. You know, and I was going to get touch on that when I saw that. I was like, yeah, I can't wait to talk to her about that. But before we do, you know, just I really admire how you, when Lovin' and Carry On Bag came out, you were just doing a lot with promoting and you were going meeting, doing book signings, and it was like you were just really on your grind with pushing that book and being here and showing up here for different events or different book clubs were coming and featuring you for different signings. So what was the motivation? Like, how did Love in a Carry On Bag, like, just come about? Like, what was the inspiration behind that?
So I started it took me over 10 years to write Love in a Carry-On Bag. So let me just say that.
Wow.
Let me get that out in the world. Yes, which I know that that's not very popular right now. I feel like authors are cranking out books, you know, one a year, twice a year, three times a year, which I'm always looking at that with my mouth wide open because I'm like, wow, how do you write so quickly?
Mm-hmm.
But it did. It took me over 10 years to write Love in a Carry-On Bag. And the idea came to me because my husband and I actually started off in a long-distance relationship. So I actually lived in New York City, and he lived in Philadelphia, and we saw each other every weekend. And
mm-hmm.
so that was kind of where I got the idea. My goal was to write, like, that next beautiful love story. I loved movies like Love Jones and Mo' Better Blues and Love and Basketball, and I really wanted to make my story give the readers that same feel, that same
mm-hmm.
love feel. So the twist for me was the long-distance relationship, and I was able to, like, take that personal experience and build, you know, these fictional characters around that.
Wow. Yeah. Fiction, was that the genre that you wanted to initially do? Because I'm guilty. I'm going to raise my hand because I'm in the process of writing and trying. But I'm big, like you said, on the business side of it. Like, I kind of really want to know the business and the, you know, instead of just kind of writing and just trying to put it out there. But I've been going to webinars with publishers, publishing companies, and just intaking the knowledge, you know, just kind of just being there and taking it all in before I just jump out there and write on my own. But
mm-hmm.
was fiction just like your first choice to do fiction? And
Yeah, definitely. I just always love fiction I can't remember not reading. Like, and it was always a lot of books. Like, when I was a kid, I remember, you know, going to the library and checking out 5-7 books a week and going back the next week and checking out 5-7 more books. And it was always fiction that I read. I think I'm a little too much of a punk to write nonfiction, like a memoir or something like that. So I actually like to be able to take small snippets of things that I know about. Like Erica in Love in a Carry-On Bag, she's a publicist. I was a publicist. So
mm-hmm.
I can take what I know from that and then really make her story rich. And that's
right.
What I really enjoy about fiction is that there is no, you're not confined to tell the story exactly how it happened. You can take things that you know about or snatch bits of conversations from people. Like, I was, I teach a meditation class every week, and
mm-hmm.
one of my students came in on Tuesday, and I said, how are you doing? She said, I'm kicking, but not too high. And I said, oh, my gosh, I'm so stealing that. That's going to be in my next book, okay? So when you hear a character say that, I love that. I'm kicking, but not too high. And so that's the beauty of fiction for me, is that I can just be open and aware of everything that's going on around me and take those little nuances and put it into the story.
Wow, that's great. That's really something, you know, to have that imagination and to have this kind of relationship with these characters in a book. You know,
yeah.
I've heard so many writers talk about how they you know, these characters are real to them, you know, from, they actually create a profile. And I think I got this from, who did I get this from? I want to say Tiffany Montgomery.
Uh-huh.
She was giving some kind of tips on, you know, the outline of when you get ready to write a book or a story. And she was saying, you know, do your characters first. She said all the way down to their hair, eye color, how old they are, mm-hmm. How much they weigh, how, you know, just all of the different characteristics and demographics that goes into, like, an actual person that you really wouldn't, you know, like, you meet someone, you wouldn't say, oh, wow, you're 5'5", you know. But, you know, when it comes to writing these characters out, she was giving this advice, like, make sure you do that. And that builds mm-hmm. a connection with someone that you created, you know. It's mm-hmm. kind of weird, and it's beautiful at the same time.
Yeah, and just to add to that thought, Bebe Moore Campbell actually said to me that, yes, you do definitely build a bio when you start writing a book, but then on your second or third draft, you have to go back and revise that bio, because now you know your characters even better than you did when you started that first draft.
Right.
So you do write that bio as much as you can come up with, and then you go ahead and start writing, and then the characters start to reveal themselves to you. This is what I've learned also about creating fiction, is that I'm not in control of the story. I try and think of myself as the conduit, and I let the story come through me. So instead of me trying to control the action and what's going to happen, I try and let them dictate what's going to happen. And so the more you do that, the richer your story is, and then when you go back to revise that bio, you know more about them than you did before.
Right. That makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah.
Definitely. That is remarkable. Now, so your journey, you say your background started in publishing. Now, mm-hmm. do you have a degree? What is your educational background?
No, I have a degree in communications.
I graduated
from Marymount Manhattan College in New York City. And from there, I actually started off wanting to be an actress.
Mm-hmm.
So that was why I moved to New York City. That's what I started off as a theater major, and then I switched to communications. And I was auditioning, and I was working at a restaurant. You know, I had that starving artist life. And, after a while, I was like, you know, I got a college degree. I don't have to wait tables. So I decided, what do I love? Oh, I love to read. So let me get a job in publishing. That's probably interesting. And I got the job in publishing, and I would write during my lunch breaks, and I would write every day at 4 o'clock. I would close my door and pretend like I was working, and I would work on my novel. And a lot of it happened at work. Corporate America has no idea what they pay us for.
Right, you know. That is funny, because I'm the same way. Like, I love my jobs, and I love them because of the influence and the impact that I have on the consumers and the population that I work with directly.
Yeah.
However, you just don't, you know, like when you go in the office, you're not, you know, you do all your work done, you know, at your job. You don't want to be, you know, just kind of milking the time clock. But
right.
when you get all your work done out of the way, you know, that's the time where, you know, okay, well, let me see if I can work on this or work on my marketing skills or my this type of plan that I got going on. And so, And I do that as well. You know, at my jobs, sometimes I'm sitting there and I write out a blog, you know, and I'm at my job, my place of employment, and then, you know, I go back and edit and everything. So, that is a part of the grind that I was talking about. Like, you're able to do that and still work in corporate America, still work your 9-to-5, but you end up doing some other things, too, as well.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, absolutely.
So how was some of that the influences that as you continue to grow and did you do a lot of networking? Like, how was, like, what was your plan? Like, you wanted to put a book out, you wanted to write a book, but what was your plan? Like, what was your vision for putting out a mm-hmm. book, or to at least writing a book?
Yeah, my vision and what happened is two very, very different things.
Mm-hmm.
So when I left, and I left publishing actually to have children. So I have 3 children, and as my children were popping out and needing to be taken care of, I was also writing at the same time. And so I had finished a few drafts of Love in a Carry-On Bag, and I took it out into the world. I did the query letter and the agents, and I actually had a very, very prominent agent in New York City who was very excited about my project, and she took it to market. She tried to sell my book, and she wasn't able to sell it. And so I guess most of your listeners should remember when, you know, Borders Bookstore, it wasn't that long ago, but mm-hmm. Borders Bookstore had, like, the corner of African-American novels, African-American books, anything to do with our literature. They were very big in purchasing our books, you know. And so when they crashed, that was, like, 90% of the market for black books. And so a lot of the editors got fired from the publishing companies or let go or were given packages. They stopped taking as many books from new authors. It was really about, like, the Steve Harveys and the Wendy Williams and people who they know they could turn a profit on.
Right, and okay.
Yeah, so she had said to me, she said, why don't we wait 6 months and see what happens with the market and we can go out and try it again. Well, I had already waited 10 years. And, you know, at this point, it's kind of like, all right, I'm ready to move on to some new characters. Erica and Warren have been talking to me for over 10 years. I need to see what else I have to give.
Mm-hmm.
So my husband and I were out one day, and he said, well, what is it that you want from a big publishing house? Because I had my heart completely set on it, you know. And I said, well, you know, I need an editor. And he goes, well, why don't we just hire an editor? And when I say the thought had never occurred to me, like, my brain was so tunnel vision, like, this is what it means to be an author. You go this way, and then, you know, there's no turning right, and there's no turning left. It's this
mm-hmm.
way. And so the moment I said yes to it, everything that I needed to go ahead and start a publishing company and get Love and a Carry-On back out into the world just flooded me, you know? It was like the universe was waiting for me to say, okay.
Right, mm-hmm. Yeah, and as soon as you made that commitment to yourself, that inner commitment, that, you know, you came into agreement with something that was, you know, kind of maybe you were going, oh, like you said, tunnel vision, you was going the opposite way of,
mm-hmm.
and immediately things started opening up for you.
Yes, exactly.
Immediately.
Exactly. So I met my editor, you know, she was incredible, Charisse Fisher edited Love and a Carry-On Bag, and she was awesome and so connected in the business, had worked in publishing for 16 or 17 years before she started her own business. And so she was able to open up a lot of doors for me and connect me to, you know, people who could help me. And I also worked with Dawn Michelle Hardy as a publicist, and she started with Terry Woods. She was, like, at the beginning of Terry Woods' projects when she started her business.
Mm-hmm.
So she also knew a lot of people who could connect me to people that I needed to be connected to and that sort of thing. So it was an awesome first year. I can't even think of anything that would have made it better. It was an awesome first year, and so we're in our second year now of promoting it, and like you said, I'm gearing up for another tour. I've
mm-hmm.
been working really hard on book clubs and conferences and vending, and I'm even branching out a little bit more. I'm not only doing book appearances at, you know, traditional Harlem book festivals and things like that, I'm also now trying to figure out, okay, where are the mothers and the children or the hair shows or, like, where are there just going to be a bunch of people? That's where
right.
I need to have myself set up with my book. And so that's kind of been my strategy for this year. Like, yes, still hitting the book festivals, but also where are just the regular people who got, you know, 15 bucks in their pocket and they want to buy a little jewelry and they want to buy a hat and
mm-hmm.
let me be there too, you know? So that's kind
right.
of my new plan for this year
awesome.
In addition to everything else, yeah.
Yeah. That would be great. So when you start the tour, do you have any states in mind? Like, how are you hitting? Is it just like an East Coast thing, you know, up and down the East Coast? Or
Well, I'm on the Motherhood Diaries book, which we're doing a book signing in Texas, in Houston, Texas.
Wow.
And that'll be, yeah, so I don't know if all 21 authors will be there, but it'll be a good many of us are flying out to Houston. Rashonda Tate Billingsley is awesome. She's having a big dinner for all of the authors. And then we're going to do a meet and greet and a book signing with a couple of book clubs in Houston. So if you have any listeners in Houston, Facebook me, text me, figure out how to get there because we'll all be there in Houston. I think at one of the hotels, I should have that information shortly. They're still pulling that together. But that's going to be on June 1st. And then I live in New Jersey, so I'm doing a lot of local events in New Jersey for the next couple of months. And then I'll be at the Harlem Book Festival in Harlem. I'll be at the Baltimore Urban Book Festival in Baltimore in July. And I'm going to Chicago in October for the 9th annual Cavalcade of Authors. I was invited to that. So yeah, I'll be bouncing around. I'll definitely,
yeah.
you know, be getting some miles on my credit cards.
Yeah.
On my frequent flyer. Yeah, my frequent flyer. So.
Right, and those are always good.
I love
traveling and flying. Actually, I was in Jersey earlier this year, a couple months ago, and I actually do plan on going back, and I would love to go to, you know, some festivals and some book, just some kind of a lot of cultural things that I'm interested in going to and networking up there sometime in the next few months. So I need to definitely stay updated on those events that you're going to be, you know, vending.
Well, the good thing is, you know what I do is I feel like I pay it forward and I pay it back. So if anyone goes to my website, you will know every single event that I've done, period, and every single event that I'm doing. And I leave it as a blueprint for authors who are coming up behind me, because the way that I figured out how to set up a tour for myself is that I would go to my favorite authors' websites, write down every single thing that they did, and then I would call those same places and see if I can book myself into those venues. And I find that the best venues I've been in where I've sold the most books was because I got it from another author. So I've left a complete paper trail. My history is all over my website.
Right.
So if you go to my events page, it is my website is SadiquaJohnson.com.
Mm-hmm.
And Sadiqua is S-A-D-E-Q-A Johnson.com. And on my events page, I have all my upcoming events. And if you keep scrolling down, I have past events. So every single thing I've done for Love and a Carry On Bag is on my website.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So that's my gift to the authors who are coming up, yes.
Oh, well, thank you. As a author that's coming up, I will say I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I do. I mean, my writing ability, when I was in college, I majored in English, so I just knew that I was have to have that under my belt. But then I went from English to political science to sociology to psychology. So I was kind of like bouncing everywhere because I really wanted to find my way while I was in college just to stumble across like a curriculum that I knew that I would just hone in on as when I got older. And sociology, psychology was definitely the field that I can honestly say that I am now, you know, honing in on in my career. However, I've always wrote, you know, it wasn't serious, like it wasn't like, you know, I wasn't known for writing, but I've always, you know, just secretly, you know, we all kept a journal or a diary when we was growing up.
Mm-hmm.
But for me right now, I really have this burning sensation to write, you know, but the process is just like, oh my goodness, like I'm kind of like the process for me right now is just like, well, I'll wait, and I just keep putting it off and I keep putting it off, but I'm just a really business-oriented and strategic mind that I have to have, like, a plan, you know. And so far, my plan and my goals and everything is kind of flowing along nicely in regards to me putting out some material in book form. So I definitely appreciate the information and the advice that you've been giving us this evening.
Yeah, well, the first step to writing is actually writing, and it is definitely a daunting task, but I think what takes away the pressure a little bit are two things. The first thing is that, just like I said earlier, is just picture the writing coming through you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't feel like you are so in control. You have to make it perfect. You. Let them talk to you, and you just see yourself as the typist. All your job is to write their stories for them. And if you look at it like that, it separates you a little bit from feeling so like you have to be a perfectionist. It takes a little bit of that pressure off. And the other thing is you don't have to write 5 hours a day. If you commit to 20 minutes before bed, you know, if you say I go to bed at 10 o'clock, so I'm going to really get in my bed at 9:30, get my pen, get myself situated, write 15 minutes, and then I'm going to, you know, turn in. If you do 15 minutes or 20 minutes a night before bed or the first thing in the morning, I actually am a morning person, so I get up at my goal. I'm not going to say I do it every day because it would be a bold-faced lie, but my goal is to get up every day at 5 so that I can meditate and start writing at 5:30. That's my goal. And I write for an hour, and then I get my kids up for school, and then I come back to it later. But if I don't get a chance to come back to it, I know I got that hour out of the way. I know something is on the page. So don't put so much emphasis on how much time you spend writing. Just be consistent with Monday through Friday, I'm going to do 15 minutes a day from 8 to 8:20, and then I'm going to go to work. Or from 9:45 to 10 o'clock, and then I'm going to go to bed. Or on my lunch break from 12 to 12:20, and then I'm going to go get my hamburger. Like, if you start there, then you'll see it'll start to string together.
Mm-hmm. Consistency.
Yeah, just a little bit. Like, it's just a little bit. You know, it's any type of practice. If you're practicing an instrument, you might only practice piano 15 minutes a day, but you give it 15 minutes a day. It's the same thing.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, definitely. Oh, yes, definitely. I lost my train of thought. meditating was what I was going to get to, because you mentioned meditating. That was, like, stuck out to me, because I'm really big on meditating, like, in the morning time. At least sometimes I get it. I try to do it every day, whether it's in the morning, afternoon, or evening time. But I've been consistent with meditating in the afternoons, just being able to be still. And you say you teach a meditation class every week?
I do. I teach a meditation class where I live in New Jersey every Tuesday night from 8 to 9 o'clock. And if you go to my website, the information is there. And basically, I've been teaching it for 4 years now. And it's we practice transcendental meditation, which is silent meditation. And meditation has really changed my life a lot. Like I said, I have 3 small children. They're not so small anymore, but when they were small, they're all 2 years apart. And when I had them, you know, I started to feel like I was losing control of who I am. I felt like I couldn't really relax and calm down enough and separate myself from the mother that they needed me to be and the writer that I wanted to be. And so I started this meditation practice. I started off actually going to a class once a week, and then I built my practice from there. And so my goal every day is to meditate 20 minutes in the morning, 20 minutes in the evening, every day, period. Now, that doesn't always happen, and it's fine. You know, sometimes this morning I only had enough time to meditate for 10 minutes, so I got my 10 minutes in. But I notice my day is a lot smoother when I get some time in versus when I don't get any time in. And if you're ever curious about meditation or you want to get started, you can also go to my website, which is SadiquaJohnson.com. I have videos. If you go to my video gallery, you'll see that I have meditation videos on there. I have a 3-minute meditation for people who are really on the go. I have a 5-minute meditation, and I have a 10-minute meditation. And you can, you know, pop it on your iPhone or, you know, use it on your computer and meditate with me. So that way you start to get a feel of what it's like to actually sit there and get your meditation going. I'm also on YouTube too. So if you just YouTube Sadiqua Johnson, my meditation videos and some interviews and things of that will pop up.
Yeah, and that really helped me because I've watched some of your videos.
Wow! Again, see, I just feel like all my work is out there and nobody's paying attention. And you watch my videos. Awesome!
Yeah, I've actually shared them. You know, especially when I experience something, and I do my own experiments. You know, life is just this, you know, a playground full of just different hypotheses and experiments for me. So when I do something, I really want to take it in fully and experiment consistently, not just do it because it's the moment or it's the trend or whatever, but I really started focusing on meditation a few years ago. And so I think more as we got connected socially on the networks, I saw that you did have some meditation videos, so I watched them, and it really put me at a great place when I watched them, especially when I was on the go a lot more a few years ago. I was just always up and just leaving. And it really put me in a great place. So I'm definitely an advocate for meditation and peace and stillness. And so those videos really help, especially to get you in the beginner's mind. Most people just have this view of meditation that they just always say, well, I can't be quiet. My head is always, I'm always thinking something in there. Right. I'm always thinking about what I need to cook, or it's a practice, like you said, and it takes time to really get those moments where you can, I mean, it can be like a moment of 2 minutes. It can happen that quick because just being present in the now, you can really kind of pull yourself in and out within like 5 minutes. But you those times where you really get those special moments where you're really in there, like you're really meditating, you're really in the moment, you're really appreciating it. Your videos do help out with that.
Wow, yeah, I couldn't have said it better. And that's what meditation is. It's really about connecting with spirit. It's
mm-hmm.
about connecting with your higher self. It's about planting seeds of intention. It's about putting out there what you want to come back to you and giving yourself space to actually create it. Because what happens is every day we have so many thoughts. We have like 50 to 60,000 thoughts a day.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the thoughts are thoughts we've already had. So we're consistently thinking the same thing over and over again. So there's no space for us to grow. There's no space for us to plant those seeds. There's no space for us to water those dreams. So when you meditate, what you do is you open up that space. You open up that space so that you can actually have, I have the best ideas, you know, after I meditate or after I practice yoga. I was in yoga class yesterday, and I have this yoga teacher who talks so much. Sometimes I feel like she has like this ordained thing going on because sometimes she's talking, and I don't know if you ever feel like a trance, like you're kind of in a trance, like that.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of, and like her words are like swirling around in my head. But that was happening to me yesterday, and I'm working on my second novel right now as we speak, actually, and I'm hoping to have that out for the top of 2014. So I wasn't even thinking about the novel. I was practicing yoga, but this ending of the novel, I promise you, just popped right in my head, and that happened because I was in the place of stillness, you know, so that mind, soul, body connection is so important. We spend so much of our lives in fifth gear, but we're not meant to be in fifth gear all the time. We're supposed mm-hmm. to be in, you know, first gear sometimes, second gear sometimes, but we spend so much in fifth gear, and that's why a lot of times it's hard for us to create the lives that we want. Meditation, yoga, prayer slows you down, puts you in the moment, and helps you to live your life completely on purpose.
Yes, I could not agree anymore. You know, I'm just really a strong, I have like this strong this connection with being directly, knowing that I'm directly, you know, because there's a difference between, you know, just kind of having this visual or just kind of just knowing in the back of your head that, okay, yeah, I know that I'm here on this planet. You know, most people, it has to be like this really deep, deep, deep sense of knowing that you are directly connected to, like, the all, like, the whole entire universe, the, you know, nature. You come from nature, and everything is just a cycle of just continual life, and it happens every day. And you don't know what you just don't actually have to have this logical, because some people try to make it logical and then it doesn't really work for them. Well, you know, meditation isn't so logical, because you really miss it. It's really about that connection and the feeling and the being in your spirit, being able to resonate with this peace and relaxation mind state.
Yeah, it's as important as breathing. My meditation mm-hmm. teacher used to say, you wouldn't leave the house without taking a shower. It's
mm-hmm.
the same thing. So why leave the house without giving yourself a spiritual bath, cleansing yourself of the day before? When you meditate in the morning, what you're doing is cleansing all of those thoughts, all of those things that happened the day before, so that you can start fresh.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah, I like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like how you put that. That is
yeah.
so true.
Because yeah.
I'm finally breathing. Like, sometimes people, they ask me, like, if I'm riding or if I take some breaths. Some people are like, what's wrong with you? You know, why are you so mad? Or is mm-hmm. there something wrong? I'm like, no, I'm just breathing. Like,
I'm
I'm being aware of my breaths. And it makes you feel a lot better breathing alone. You know, I'm glad that you brought this up, because that is something that I've been wanting to talk about, is the art of breathing and meditation.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a very great ritual and a way of life to really be experiencing your own breath, and people
mm-hmm.
take that for granted all the time.
Mm-hmm. People don't breathe. My children are so funny, because I'm always telling them this all the time. So the moment I'm a little out of control, they go, "Mommy, breathe. Take a deep breath with me, okay? Let's count to 10. Breathe, Mommy."
That's funny.
Yes.
How old are your children?
They're 9, 7, and 5. So they're all 2 years apart. Yeah, so they keep me busy. My 7-year-old, she was just in school the other day, and her teacher was asking all the kids, what college do you want to go to when you grow up? And she said, well, I know I'm going to college, but I don't know which one yet because I'm just enjoying the moment.
God, that is so funny.
She said, I'm just enjoying the moment. I said, oh, goodness. I know her teacher was like, oh, gosh, your mom is so flowery.
That is amazing. Yeah. Though. I mean, but, you know, it's just that is just a prime example, you know, of being that influence, you know, with your child and them watching you and them feeding off you and getting some of that, of, you know, you do, you know, because I don't know, do you meditate with your children? Do you teach them?
I don't as much as I would like because, one, that's my moment, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I do it so early. I do it between 5 and 5:30, and actually everyone is asleep.
Mm-hmm.
So when they were younger, I feel like we had more time. But at 9, 7, and 5, you won't believe how busy my children – like, children are so busy these days. It's not just go to school, come home, do your homework. It's like drop this one at karate. This one has gymnastics. This one has – so because our schedules are so busy, sometimes it's hard for me to get us all in one place at one time. But, you know, I think we're going to meditate this weekend. I'm glad you brought that up.
That's good. That's good. I've always had a lot of a lot of parents, they come to me because they're so busy with their schedules and their children have schedules too, so they're kind of missing each other. And I always reiterate that it's very important that you pull them into what you're doing because sometimes that connection is lost sometimes in the midst of the busyness. And the busyness happens because we're inside of this society where we have these demands and these deadlines and we have to go here by this certain time. So it's going to be there. It's not nothing to be so stressed out or have anxiety over because that's where, you know, your calmness and your meditation comes in at and just coping with the fact that, you know, it is what it is. Just for things to get the way they are, they, you know, everybody flows at their own pace. But sometimes it's very, very important that I would tell some of my clients that, you know, you got to pull them in. You know, sometimes you have to pull yourself out, pull them in, and you guys just, you know, create this own little space, this sacred space where you're able to, you know, if it's just sitting in front of each other, just, you know, kind of just watching each other breathe or, you know, whatever you guys are doing, we engage, bring your speed, slow it down, and then speed theirs up to where yours are. You know, it's kind of like a give and take, thing with your, especially with the child, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yep, you definitely have to have that connection. I actually did a blog because what I do practice with my children is silent breakfast. I have a blog on my website, SadiquaJohnson.com, where I did a blog on how to practice silence with your children. And so what we do once or twice a week, I guess this is sort of our meditation. It's actually supposed to be Tuesdays and Fridays. The kids have decided on their 2 days. When I wake them up in the morning, you know, I kind of give them the shush sound, and they know they remember that means today is silent breakfast, and they come downstairs, they have breakfast in silence, and then they can't speak until they go upstairs to get dressed. And so those 2 days, I feel like, run really smoothly in my house because not a lot of chit-chatter. But also it helps to prepare your children for the day. You know, they have a moment to not, you know, fight over the milk or whatever. You know, it really gets them centered and focused for the day. So that's another tip that I've done a wonderful blog. Go to SadiquaJohnson.com, and you'll see the blog on practicing silence with your children. It's one of my earlier blogs that I did, but if you scroll down, you'll see it. And it's all my friends have copied it. If it's not silent breakfast with their kids, it's silent car rides with their kids. They've incorporated silent moments where you and your kids are together, but you're in silence for, you know, 10 minutes or whatever it is. And it definitely is beneficial. It definitely helps.
Yeah, it sounds awesome. I'm definitely going to be promoting that. I'm going to put that up on my Twitter and on my fan page because that is, everyone is kind of, and even though it's, you know, you kind of like, oh, this is the trend. Everybody wants to meditate now. This is the trend. Well, this is a great thing, a tool that you can use to really, really, really be at more peace with yourself and increase that peace and balance in your life and not only yours, but the child's as well. And so that is a really great tip. I would love to read that blog, and I'm going to share it as well. So for you guys who didn't catch the website, it is SadiquaJohnson.com. And I'm just like, she has amazing, just amazing mind, you know, just like your spirit, everything is just, is great. And I'm glad that you were able to come and be on the show this evening.
Thank you
so much.
So
with all my love, I will say peace and blessings to you. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And I just want to say to your listeners that I really appreciate this time that we've had together. I can be reached again at SadiquaJohnson.com, and that's Sadiqua, S-A-D-E-Q-A, Johnson.com. My novel, my award-winning book, is called Love in a Carry-On Bag, and you can get that directly from my website. You can get it from Amazon.com. You can download it on your Kindle, your Nook, your iBook. You can get it from BarnesandNoble.com, and some libraries even have it. So take a look at it. I would love for you to follow me on Twitter. I'm at Sadiqua Says, S-A-Y-S, Sadiqua Says. And you could also like my page on Facebook, which is Facebook / Sadiqua Johnson. So I would love to be in touch with you all. So please contact me, and let's you know, be together.
All right, excellent. Okay, you guys, we'll be right back.
Yes, and we come to the end of another beautiful dose of Soulful Essentials. I want to give a big, big thank you to our special guest for this evening, Sadiqua Johnson. And you guys, you have to go get Love in a Carry-On Bag. She just listening to Sadiqua, you can tell that she puts her all into her work and her projects, and she has an amazing spirit, and you definitely want to go check out that novel and just be connected with those characters that she created. She's been with them characters for 10 years, as you could hear, you know, when she was talking about how long she been writing this book. She's been writing it for 10 years. So go and grab that book and dive into, you know, another world and journey on with her through those different characters in her book. So thank you once again, Ms. Sadiqua Johnson, for coming on Soulful Essentials. I truly enjoy speaking with you. You have just this amazing spirit to you, and it's always a pleasure to speak with someone that I'm actually connected with, and for us to make that connection. And I look forward to my book club. Also, we will get a chance to do a virtual meet and greet. So if you want to, it's still not too late. If you want to join in on our book club, you can just send me an email at thellfoundation@gmail.com. That's THELLE Foundation, FOUNDATION, @gmail.com, and just put book club in the subject line and just tell me that you want to be a part of this go round, and we will be doing a virtual meet and greet with Sadiqua Johnson very soon, and I look forward to that as well. To all of my Soulful Essentials listeners, I appreciate you dearly. Thank you for rocking with me another week worth of inspiration. I hope that you got something from this. Whether you want to be a writer, whether you have aspirations of being a writer, or whether you are, you know, trying to meditate more, looking for more peace or more stillness, I hope that you grab something from this show, from tonight's show, so that you can carry with you on to the next, and just grab hold of something out of tonight's show that you can keep with you, and that you can grow, and that you can build upon, because that's what it's about. It's about all of us going through our situations, not only going through, but growing through. And so that I encourage you all to take some time out to put things in perspective. Sometimes it's okay. Everything doesn't have to be strategic. Everybody doesn't have strategic minds and brains. So you don't have to always be so strategic with what you want to do. You know, you want to be clear. You want to be clear, but you don't have to be so strategic. Sometimes you have to let it happen. You have to allow it to happen. And just depending on who you are, what type of energy you have, the aura, and how you was constructed, everybody has the possibility, everybody has the potential to make things happen for you and in your divine timing. You know, Sadiqua said that she was writing this book for 10 years. You know, she was on her path. She was on, you know, just going through things that she thought was the right way to go through, when in fact it was supposed to happen just this other type of way. You know, it wasn't even supposed to happen this way. It was supposed to happen that way. You know, so everything does not, just because you think it's supposed to happen a certain way, it may totally hit you left field and happen a totally different way. So keep your options open. Be clear about what you want. But everything may not have to be so black and white like you have it down on a piece of paper. Keep your options open. You know, and as always, you are listening to another beautiful dose of Soulfully Essentials. And I hope to see you back here next week. Same time and same place, right here where all the magic happens on WMRN. This is Coach Yashika. Bye for now.